HXB. Happy New Year, everybody.
FK4OIM,
in 30 seconds. About a few seconds.
BKK4RQO, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Get into today.
I'm at four-wheeling. Hold on a minute. I'll be right back. Give me a couple minutes. I'll be right back. KK4HXB.
KK4RQO. KK4HXB. Go ahead.
Oh, bro. I'm getting my ham shack back up and running. I was working on my fan dipole last night. I got all the spacers M20'd. I'm going to try to get a couple buddies over, and we're going to hang it probably this weekend.
Sound like a plan to me. Well, I tell you what, this time here, noontime, I'll be down at my family's house with some of my favorite greens and cornbread, and who knows what else I have on the table.
Oh, roger that. You sound like you're about 40 miles away. You need to relocate your beam.
K4RQO.
Oh, that's good. Turn it a little bit more to the north.
Sure, KK4RQO.
Oh, that's good. That's perfect.
Roger, roger. Yeah, I don't know if I told you, but I got to get you the 15 element VHF beam there. And, I may have told you about that one. Yeah, I got to get you the 15 element beam. I'm probably going to try and stick up there sometime.
But you still got a lot of white noise, so back it down a little bit. I think you hit the spot earlier, and I thought you might get a little bit more clear.
There, KK4RQO.
No, that's good. KK4HXB for ID.
Somebody out there trying to come on in? Well, excuse me. Lord have mercy. Yeah, any other stations out there wants to come on into this here fine conversation? Y'all come on in here now.
Well, I am. Well, you know, late morning, and I was interested in that fan dipole.
Oh, yeah, I just got it. I got it. It's four, and that's the most pain in the butt thing I ever had to deal with because it kept wrapping up with me. But I got it built. I got some buddies coming over, and we're going to hang it probably this weekend.
One from DX Engineering. It's a five-band trap dipole. It's trapped for 40 and 80s. I've had that thing about 2 years. And once you get that thing up, boy, you're going to be surprised. The one I got, the bowl is in a metal can there at the feed point. It's got a rubber cap on top and the PL or SL 239 connector is in a rubber cap in the bottom. But somehow another water got into it. And the standing wave was so high, I just dropped it and couldn't figure it out. And I ordered a 80-40 band dipole. I've got it up now. That thing will tune 80 through 10, but I was wanting to get this one back up and going this weekend. But I'm sitting here now, and I thought it was more fireworks going off, and man, it is raining hard up here at Lake Bowen.
Friday. Oh, Lord, yeah. I had a fan dipole up, and I talked all over the world and on 100 watts. And a buddy of mine says, I'm going to give you an off-center dipole, and it's going to be better than what you got. That was the worst mistake I ever made.
Another end fed, off-center fed. Center fed is... Well, now, I did have center fed up and fed it with, I believe it's 450 on ladder line. But where I'm at now, I had a stroke 3 years ago and fell out of my shack and broke my darn neck. And where I'm at now, I had to move in with my daughter after I got out of the hospital. I had so much radio equipment, I couldn't put it in my bedroom, so I had to buy a 32-foot camper. And I about gutted this thing out, and they got nothing but radio equipment.
Oh, roger that. Hope everything kind of works out. Cody, where you at, buddy?
I'm just sitting here, little figure. I'd sit back and let y'all carry on there for a minute talking about antennas. Well, I tell you, I saw my 10-cent fit in there. I got an inside wire up here about 15 foot off the ground, give or take, a million EM Comtune. That sucker stand for six to all the way up there to 160 there. And I can go anywhere up and down that thing I want to. Just hit that tuner and go.
I don't know it, but you ground. Your ground conditions, whether it's rocky or clay or sandy, that has a lot to do with any antenna. I'm up here at Lake Bowen. I'm about 500 feet away from the water on the hill, probably 40 foot above the water lake level down there, and got a bunch of oak trees. And I'm going to get this 5-man fan dipole up. I hope to get it up tomorrow or Monday. But it's going to be cold. And I got a Cush Flap A3S set of beams laying out here on my grandson's trampoline. I got to get them things up. K4OIM for ID.
Friday.
You go for those out yonder in Radio Land that like to hear it. You sound like you got a heck of a project going on out there.
My daughter would kill me if she caught me climbing, but I believe I can take this 4080 fan dipole down, and I've got it on pulleys. I may have to move one end of it back about 20 feet to get this other DX Engineering 5-band back up. I know what you mean. You're talking about getting it all tangled up and trying to get the SWR on that thing. I cussed that thing for about a week. I'd get it right on 80 and 40, and then when I'd go to move the just the one for 20. Get 20 down 1-to-1 and go back and check 80 and 40 and it'd be way off. You have to go through all of that again. Once you do, 20's messed up. And you reach a compromise there. And then when you go down to get 15, you got 3 times the trouble because you're still trying to get 20 and 40 and 80 right. Then when you go to 10 spacers, but once you get them all through them spacers right and bend your wire back, shorten it a little bit. You always have to shorten it. I've never had no length in it. But boy, they aggravate. That's one of the aggravating antennas I ever put up, but once you get it right, it is right.
Question. I just built mine, and it's a 4-element. My 80 meters is 172 feet divided by 2. Does that sound correct to you? Do I need to cut it off?
I wouldn't cut it. I would check it and fold it back when you got it going through your insulator. Because once you get it right on the 80, then when you go to adjust the 40. Each time you adjust another band, it's going to interfere with the ones you've already got you sending them wave on. They are aggravating as hell to get adjusted. Spacers apart.
You must be still trying to solder that foot pedal together. I need to get him a radio with box on there and get him a Heil Pro 7 stick on that thing so he can just sit there and jaw at the best of it.
KK48 checks me. I got a $5,000 radio and it's quitting on me. Oh no, I got to send it back to the factory. Oh yeah, what I'm doing, I'm running it out to the shortest pole and then putting my spacer in the next one and then moving it on down the line.
I think my 40 and 80 is the same wire, but it's got a trap on each end of it. And I think it is only about 93 feet long. And then when I drop down to my 20 meter, I've got what I cut them. But I've got a spacer about every 8 feet between them. And y'all leave it, even on the 10 meter, as short as it is, I've got three spacers on it. If you don't put more spacers than that on it, I believe you're going to have problems with the sag in it. I don't know what kind of wire you build it with, but, you're talking about getting tangled up, no wonder. But even with the spacers I've got on mine, I'd say on the, between the 80-40 down to the 20 meter, there's four spacers on each end of it. More than that, because I got three coming off of each end of that down to the... No, I got four coming down to the 20 meter and three on each leg of it on the 15 and one, two, three on the 10 meter section to make sure they're all straight and tight.
Now, Earl, I gotta ask you a question. What kind of radio is you talking on for $5,000? Earth, I tell you, that's all I can say about that.
Radio was an old Hallcrafter SX-99 and a Johnson Viking transmitter. Man, I've been in this stuff since 1976.
On that, yeah, I got an SX-48 sitting here on my table. Well, I got two tables, one with my daily use radio there, and another table over. I got an SX-48 sitting there that was gifted to me. I was in the had a bad cluster of seizures back March of last year. Wow, I finally can say March of last year. And anyhow, long story short, my mom had a store she was running, and this fella comes in. I forget exactly how it came about, but he asked her, says, you know anybody that likes some old radio equipment, ham radio stuff? And she said, yeah, my son's a ham. He might be interested. So, and time rolled on, and one day he shows up with the stuff, and she's like, well, she tells me, says, he's going to give you a radio. Now it's something else. I don't know if any other radio plans. That's all the stuff for the age. Okay. So anyway, long story short, Jay brought, actually got two of them sitting here, one in the closet and one sitting on the table. But yeah, I'm like, God, I gotta play this. I'm gonna cough up some money taking there's a place down here in Claremont, Georgia called Skyland Radio TV repairing it. It'll cost you $50 for us to tell you what's wrong with it and whatever the parts are. You know what, I might just have to get a wild hair and bring that thing down to y'all, but yeah. This ain't very high on the priority list, but maybe one day I'll get it up and going.
An SB NOAA S-40B helicopter that was made in 1949. One owner, a guy, I owe him a NCS operator on this net on Tuesday night. This guy had this S-40B helicopter. He bought new when he was in San Diego in the Navy. I've got it sitting here. I've restored these old boat anchors. I've got that one. I got a SX, a Holocraft X-101 sitting over there. I've got a Lafayette, HA-600 sitting here. Got one that come before that. It was made back in 43, another Lafayette sitting there. I got a Holocraft SX-99 sitting in there. I'm waiting on, I ordered a recap kit from Hayseed. Usually takes 7 to 10 days to get them. And I've been waiting 5 months. And they finally came 2 days before Christmas. And every one of them was the wrong recap kit. And I called Hayseed. And they apologized and put my money back in the bank and told me just to keep the recap kits I got and said they were sorry, but they would notify me when they could finally get restocked. And then I called Radio Boulevard and they said, good luck. I mean, this shipping and parts is just unreal right now. I can't get parts for nothing.
Roger, roger. Well, maybe I won't jump out there and spend the money trying to get this thing fixed because knowing my luck, I'll have blue fish bucks. Oh, yeah, you need this, this, and this, but oh, wait, we can't get it. So I just make it a mind. Just keep it over here to the display piece there, but yeah, I got the radio. The speaker goes with it. Got a do what I gotta do inside to get the thing working. Shoot, I tell you, I've had a lot of folks say, why you got such a, why you like them old radios like that? Says, because they get, when it gets nighttime and I want to listen to 650 out in Nashville, there ain't, I say, you can't think of a better way to listen to the Opry on Friday night than out of one of them old radios.
Broke my neck and had to move in with my daughter. Had to buy me a 32-foot camper for my radio equipment and all my test equipment. And that OSX, I believe it's a 100 here. That thing's got 18 tubes in it. I could fire that thing up, cut the heat off in here. I finally got a hold of an old heat kit SB301. And that's one of my, they sent me the wrong recap kit for. And I've got a bunch of parts radios back there. And I hate to take parts out of another radio, especially resistors and capacitors and all, and put them in a radio I'm working on. Put used parts in a used radio. I mean, I ain't gonna sell these things. My brother was over here today. When you gonna sell one of your radios? They ain't for sale. I just love to turn them on and listen to them. They got a whole different tone than this solid state stuff.
I also got another radio. My grandpa's sitting in another room. I think it's either 28 or 29 RCA radio. Somebody gave him, sold to him. He had an appliance shop. It's called Precision Appliances or something like that. So it was him and another fella pretty much fully restored that thing back a long time ago, and then it sat up on a shelf in his den, and then my brother inherited it, and he got married and moved on, and then I took it. So it's sitting up there as a display piece, kind of like his helicopter, but it's sitting in another room, and I thought to myself, one of these days I got to get something where I can slowly put the voltage back to that thing, see if we can turn it on. But I just ain't mess with it. I'll just leave it sitting up there as a display piece.
When they buy one of these old ones, and it's been sitting for years, they'll just immediately plug that thing up. That's like a friend of mine. He might be listening tonight. But he went to a ham fest and he bought a hammer of an HQ, I believe it was an HQ 120. It got the clock in and everything. And he had just got his tech license. He was tickled to death and he plugged that thing up and it whistled a little bit and then died. And I told him, I said, man, you don't never do that. Well, you gotta have a Variac. And all these years I've been an operator and working on these things, I've never had a Variac. And I went to a Silent Key estate sale about 3 months ago. And there is a brand new B&K Variac. I mean, it is like brand new. And I asked the guy, I said, that was handling the estate sale what he wanted for it. He said, $25 sound all right. I like to broke my day more and try and get my wallet out and get him $25.
Roger, roger. Yeah, I may buy one of those and drag that old RCA off the rack here because they know the worst seeing a good-looking radio just sitting up there collecting dust. That is for sure.
Hey, monitor.
Hey, go ahead. We didn't mean to leave you out.
I'm working on my radios. I'm redoing my ham shack, so I'm sitting here running on strings.
He controls you. I ain't never heard either one of you check in on Tuesday night. I'm the net control station. And after I close the net out, I have a round table, and everybody can just jump in there and... I done it to help the newcomers, the technicians. Help them, a bunch of guys stick in there to help you out with the radios, programming the radios, or whatever problem you're having, or antennas, or grounding it. W4DJW, man, he's a brain at computers. I'd like to invite y'all to check in with me on Tuesday night. But I work on these old suckers, and I love these old Bojangles. So the other station I was talking to, I guess it's your turn to pick it up.
Checks me for ID. Carry is you, buddy.
Roger, roger. Earl, I got a question for you. You say you weren't playing with a $5,000 radio that's giving you this. What the heck did you pick up?
You need to point your antenna about 10 degrees to the northwest.
There.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, you're doing good.
Yeah, I was asking what kind of radio you got over there for $5,000.
About a half a dozen HTs and two or three other ones. Oh, this ain't a cheap sport.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. No, I thought you said you picked up a single radio for $5,000. And I'm like, yeah, if you did that, you might want to get your money back. But shoot, yeah, you need to look into one of those high headsets. If you ain't got box control, you can always hit the little, it's got a little button you can hit there. Hang it off your belt clip there. But yeah, I like mine using that box control for the 450.
Oh, roger that. You drifting away. You need to go about 8 or 9 more degrees to the southeast.
Sir, okay. Bar QO.
Oh, that's perfect.
Roger. Yeah, we got a lot of wind down here, so if it keeps on getting wacky, I might just go ahead and shut the thing down and hit the sack. But, yeah, you ought to look into one of those headsets, and I'm sure they probably got an adapter for your radio. I don't know what you're using for a 2 meter there, but I'm sure they got an adapter. Like I said, I just sing the praises about mine. I absolutely love that sucker. And sometimes I drop down there to 11 meters just to mess with them boys. I'll get on there and be like, man, you sound great. What are you using? And I'll tell them, they're like, a what, bro? A what? And they got their junk. And I'm like, oh, y'all need to get your ticket and come on this side of the fence.
6B Friday, who's up next?
Who I am. Yeah, talking about helping these guys move up. And, when I have the round table on Tuesday night, and this one guy, he got his general license, and he got him a FT-91A. And he called me, what's going on? What's all this noise on the HF? I said, man, you ain't on FM no more. You on sideband. I mean, it's kind of funny to watch them move up and try it on HF. It's a mystery antenna that he had put up. It had a lot of noise on it, and for about 3 weeks, he was coming back, still had all that noise on everything. And I sold him something, or either gave him something. He come over here to get it, and seen my ground with my where I got my ground and all. He said, is that important? I said, heck yeah, the ground's important. And I gave him a ground rod, and he went home and grounded his station and come back. Man, that cut all the noise out. But I can't laugh about it when I'm holding the net. But some of the questions they asked are they studied in the manual and they just memorized enough to get their license. Man, it takes years and years of trial and error. I've been hit twice with lightning and lost everything. I mean everything. But that grounding is very important. I didn't think it was when I first got into it, man, but the last time I got hit, I had everything disconnected, but it come in through the telephone line and got the computer, from the computer to the radio, the power supply, TV, and everything. Okay, 4-0-I-M, Friday, and somebody else go with it.
KK4-HXB, Friday.
Yo, for those out yonder in Radio Land that like to hear. Yeah, I tell you, I've heard some pretty comical stuff put out there myself. Like, I ain't gonna give no names or no locations as a courtesy. But there was a feller right after I got my tech ticket. Like, I messed with CBs and other various forms of radios over the years. And this fella, he passed his tech. And he had one of the most ridiculous. And other than that, I've always been told there's no such thing as a dumb question, but this is a dumb question. He asked, he got in there with us one night. There were several of us talking about random stuff like the way we're doing right now. And this old fella, he gets in there, and he says, I got a question. So I come back and say, yeah, what is it there? And he asked, and sure as I'm sitting here, he says, what would happen if I took a cable and connected two radios together and keyed up one of them? And I'm thinking to myself, you big dummy. So a couple of them got a hold of me and said, yeah, you might want to avoid him. We've dealt with him before. And another one of them says, we got talking on the phone. He said, yeah, I almost want to tell him to connect those two radios up so he'll be off the air. But he'll be off soon enough. But yeah, what happened? I connect two radios together with a piece of coax.
This thing I ever heard, this guy, he drove a long ground wire from his station out and dug the septic tank up and dropped the ground wire right into the septic tank, put the lid back on it and covered it up. I guess that would work. That'd be a good ground, that septic tank and the drain field. I've been hit twice, and man, it's scary when that lightning comes in.
Earl, you were dealing with a technical difficulty there again. Yep. Yeah, I've had a lot of fun with this stuff. I got my ticket back in 13 and then 15. Around 14, I had a medical issue happen. Ended up in the hospital for a surgery. And the surgeon, I said, I got what they call a VP shunt and had to have the distal end replaced on that thing. I said back in 14. And I asked him, I said, well, Doc, how long can I get back on the radio? He said, hey, give yourself about a week or two. Get all the drugs they sit so you don't start talking smack and get slapped around there. He had a really, really good sense of humor there, so that was funny. But anyways, after going that whole ordeal with my shunt thing, you know, boy, 15, I went ahead and passed my general. And I only missed it by 3 to have a perfect 100. Then, what was it? Oh, yeah. I got really bored with the general. I'm going to let this thing burp for a minute. Bored with the general around 19, so I started studying for the extra. I go up there, I think it was November, maybe middle end of November. Yeah, middle to end of November. And because my mom went through this place called the DX Store. I don't know if you ever heard of them or not. I think it's somewhere in Arizona or something, I guess. But I wanted to Howl Pro 7 headset. So, she ordered that for me kind of as a congratulations to pass your extra and birthday gift. And the fella, you know, said, yeah, my son just passed his extra. And the guy says, well, congratulations, I'll give him a $25 gift certificate. I use that gift certificate to buy my adapter I need to work that thing on the radio. But anyway, so I went and took that exam over to the Tecos Stevens County Airport. The guy, the administrator thing, he come up to me and he says, all right, you pass. And I was sweating so bad, I almost had to roll the chair sitting it out there in the air out because there was so much sweat on it. And with the general and the tech, I asked him, I said, well, what was my score? How far did I get with it to pass? And they said, I passed on that one. I said, thank you. Give me my certificate. I'm going home. And folks asked me, said, why didn't you ask how many you got right? I said, because I didn't care. They gave me my certificate. That's all I needed. Yep. I will always keep my ticket up to date. I do not ever want to go through that again.
I am. I'm still in here.
For RQO, yep, we're sitting here fat and happy. But, yeah. After I passed my extra there, went ahead and got my VE certification. So I got certified through W5YI and ARRL, so I can work with either one of the VECs there. But I'd say the coolest part about passing that extra, I made a contact with old Gordo there, Joe Walsh, so. That was pretty cool. Oh, wait, no, I made the contact with old Gordo after I passed the general, and Joe Walsh, I heard him on that Ham Nation. They had their post show Ned or something like that on 40, and I made contact with him, so that's pretty cool. It's a shame he didn't send me a QSL card, so I probably would have framed and put that sucker on the wall.
I got my novice ticket in 77. You had to know at least 5 words a minute. I got that novice ticket, and all I could do was watch CW. Went through a divorce and kind of got off the air for a while, but I always renewed my ticket. But it wasn't good but for 1 year then. And then they changed it where it was good for, you could renew it, it was good for 5 years. But when I went to take my novice test, you had to do the 5 words a minute, and the lady put the tape in the tape machine and said, "All right, let me know what you got." And the tape machine ate the tape up and got all garbled. She pulled it out and said, "Well, wait a minute." And her radio, she could turn it to CW and transmit it. It did not go out over the air. And she got one of those I want it papers. And she said, "Well, go from here." And she started sending. Now, I'm sitting there. I'm writing this down. And I didn't think I got anything. And when she got through, she said, "All right, Walt, what did you get?" I said, "Ma'am, I don't think I got nothing." She said, "Well, give it a try." And I looked down and said, "For sale, one baby crib with mattress and springs for $25. Call 864-479-3231. I couldn't believe it, but, after I got my novice ticket, I kept renewing that thing. Never got on phone, been working CW till 3 years ago this past September is when I had the stroke and fell and broke my neck. And my daughter, when I got out of the hospital, she said, "Daddy, you can't do nothing now. Why don't you try to upgrade your license?" And I hadn't even studied, and I went over here in Greenville to the Red Cross building, took the tech test to see what I needed to study. I passed it 100%. I went back the next month and took the general and missed it by 1, and I went back the next month and got my general, and I started studying for my advanced, but I'm going to wait now till the new book comes out and go take it. I believe I can pass the doggone thing.
Just like a novice, yeah. You pass that sucker, like I said for myself, I'm going to keep that thing renewed for sure, but I am not going through all that crap again.
Thanks, baby. I'm back.
Well, I am. It's like when I hold that round table on Tuesday night for these newcomers, I've got one guy on there that's an extra. And this past Tuesday, I was telling him, getting a technician license now ain't nothing like it was when I got my novice. One question on there, you had to draw. A Hartley oscillator or a Colpitts oscillator with a tube and all the resistors and capacitors and how much power it took to power it up, how much power is on the plate, the screen. And they come back to me and said, what are you talking about, a plate, a screen, and a grid? Boy, if they had to take the exam like it was back then, there'd be a whole lot fewer ham operators nowadays. this technician license and all now, you can go on ham test online and take the test and memorize the answers. A lot easier than it was back in the old days.
Roger, roger on that. Go ahead and figure up there, Earl, or maybe you ought to glue that switch down.
Is he talking on?
I have no idea. I can tell you what I got down here. I got the Yaesu FTM-3200, a Yaesu FT-450 Delta, a HAL Pro 7 headset for the 450, Channelmaster 9521A rotor, and a Cushcraft A14810S10-element beam, a Million EMCOM 2 antenna and fed dipole, and an Antron 899. And then a 30 YFTM 3100 and the Kubota RTV 1100 that I drive around on the farm. And Comet antenna on, I forget, K400 or whatever mount. So, yeah, that's my setup.
Bought this thing off of eBay for $20. They said it was a tech special. It's a Yaesu CPU 2900R. I think it's made, it's one of the first ones to come out with central processing unit in it. And I usually buy these things off of eBay, which says tech special, and I'll fix them up, and once a new tank comes on the air that's talking on a biofang, if they'll get a power supply, I'll give them a radio just to give them to them. And my HF station is a Yaesu FT950 into a 8040 band dipole of about 40 feet. And that's about it in here, except my daughter bought this place up here on Lake Bowen, and we have a lot of problems with the power, squirrels getting into the power line and losing power. I'm running completely off of solar power, my entire station. Well, everything, the only thing I got down here running off the grid is my computer and a TV and a refrigerator. Other than that, I've got another solar panel out there. I've got to get it up and get one, at least one more battery, and I can switch over to it, where everything in here will be completely off of solar, completely off the grid. it's kind of embarrassing calling the net and even after I go through the check-ins and have the right portion, and you're fixing to turn your net report in, and a squirrel gets into a transformer up there, and the power goes out. You sit here in the dark, and everybody on the net wondering what's happened. What happened? I turned my net report in and turned the frequency back over to regular use. So it ain't cost me that much. It's less than $400, I guess, to convert over to solar.
Check speed monitoring. You guys got a copy?
Full room full of you there. Tape that thing down or do something, fella. We've just done a lot of good conversation there, and a good response there when you jumped in there. But, yeah, I was going to say, you ought to encourage them squirrels to get on the antenna and throw a dead key down with a 2,000 watts. I think you have your deep-fried squirrel.
Yeah, at the kitchen. I'll be back in about 2 seconds.
And the squirrel and draw about 10, 15 years. Back when I was a kid, I was the oldest grandkid in the family. My grandpa had heart problems, and my grandmother worked in a cotton mill. And somebody had to be there with my grandpa, so I got elected. Then when my grandpa died, I promised him I'd stay there and help my grandma. Everybody in the neighborhood, when they went hunting, they'd bring my grandma rabbits and squirrels. Or during the summer, bring them fish. I said if I ever got grown, I'd never clean another squirrel or a rabbit again. I don't mind cleaning fish. But so far, after I turned 18 and went to the Navy, I ain't cleaned another squirrel or a rabbit. By the name of, my name's Walt here.
Roger there, Walt. I'm sure I checked in with you sometime or another. I know I've checked in with a lot of you there over time. I don't get in there much because either I'm just really tired or just don't think about it, or maybe we'll just AD all the above. But name of this is Cody, Charlie Oscar Delta Yankee, and I'm down here in Cleveland, Georgia, if I hadn't already mentioned that. But that's one of those things I've often thought about. I'd like to try try there at least once, a squirrel, but yeah. Too much work for what little bit you get out of it there, so I never really pursued it.
I fished one day, and this black lady was sitting there next to me, and she caught a little old ram no bigger than a goldfish. She put that thing on the stringer. I said, "Ma'am, you gonna eat that little thing?" She said, "You eat pinto beans, don't you?"
Tell me, she mixes those things, mix that thing in with pintos.
Cleans them and eats them. Now, I ain't had no squirrels. I don't know if you've ever ate any, but there's not no meat there. The only thing you use a squirrel for is to make the gravy to go on the cat head biscuits. Man, I love the taste of squirrel. K4OIM for ID.
JK4HXB for ID. Yeah, you're right. That and some good rabbit dumplings.
10 rabbits about 2 months ago and had them in a pen out here. And she's got a pit bull that he stays in the house most of the time, but he was out on the back deck. And she thought he got into that pen. And every one of them rabbits was gone. And there for 4 or 5 weeks, we had white rabbits all out in the yards here and out in the woods. I'm 2 lots up right off the water here at Lake Bowen. And 3 lots next door to us, it's nothing but woods, and one across the street. I've been going out there and throwing lettuce out and carrots and feeding them, and it got down to I hadn't seen but 2, and one of them, like a female, is about me to have a litter any time. I hadn't saw her in about 3 days. I think the fox or the coyotes have tongued out of them all.
There you go, Earl. Maybe we'll get you down here and you go over to the vet store and buy a few rabbit throws to get them out and make some rabbit dumplings there. Yeah. I tell you something, as far as foxes go, I was watching a thing on that TikTok app thing. There's a rascal actually got him a fox's urn pet, and I'm like, I've seen some crazy things. People keeping coons and skunks and a fox? Huh. That's different.
The trouble was about a fox. Before I retired, I run heavy equipment from the time I was 18 up to I was 62. And I was doing a golf course up here. And this fox come out of the woods. These guys were out there playing golf. This fox had come out and walking around all around them. And Jeff, my helper, I shut the excavator down. I said, that's strange. I said, a fox don't come out in the daytime. And they don't come around people. And the fox started coming toward us. And I said, give me that dang shovel. And that thing come at us. And it was slobbering at the mouth. And I hit it upside the head with the side of the shovel. Cut its throat and I beat it to death. And this woman come running out of the clubhouse screaming and hollering and she called the cops on me. And a fox is an endangered species. You can't kill them. I was about to go to jail over that thing, but cops took it in and took it to DHEC, and the thing did have rabies. That saved my hind end, but I got one around here. I told my neighbor, I said, I seen the biggest cat I ever seen in my life. I was out here in my shack. That thing come right up by me the other day. And he told me, he said, Walt, I don't think that's a cat. See, that's a big old silver fox. It was down there behind your shed the other day. Said it climbed up on that stump back there and sat there for about an hour. But I seen that same video on TikTok where people's making pets out of them. Your location, boy, I got a room full of you.
Oh, Travers Rest. I'm up here between Travers Rest and Marietta.
Got a room full. I'm over here at Lake Bowen, right off Highway 11. The bridge crosses 26. I can sit out the window and look at it here. Right in my backyard.
How am I modulating? Am I coming in clear?
It's a bell.
Yeah, I'm talking to you on a TS-2000 Kenwood.
Oh, is it?
It could be.
Let's see, Friday night, KJ4, WZM. He's a young guy. But his whole family, I think about five or six of them ham operators. But Daniel's looking for a 2,000.
$100 for it.
And price. Yeah, I had to work my way up on radios. I buy, trade, and sell. I always buy them off eBay or QRZ that's not working and get them going. But I'm a member of the Ole Miss Net. Man, for years, I thought that was something to do with the University of Mississippi or something. And come find out, it's the Ole Miss single sideband net. And the guy caught the net on Friday night. I forget which radio he bought, but he had this Yaesu FT950. I mean, it is loaded with everything. And he said, I'm on listed for sale. And I said, well, give me your phone number. And I called him, and he gave me a doggone good price on it. About half what I'd have to pay for it. I still ain't figured out all the menus in the thing yet. It covers 160 down to 6. But I was always a Kenwood man myself, too. I usually, it seemed like the Yaesu stuff was cheaper on eBay and QRZ, so I ended up, I've even had a few ICOMs, but always a Kenwood man. I'll tell Daniel about that thing. He's up there in Travers Rest. You might have heard him on here. KJ4WZM.
Whoa, roger that. Yeah, I've heard him. in here. KK48 checks me Friday. Me and my guys went four-wheeling today. There was an outback that followed us. And let me tell you something. You ain't never seen nothing until you seen an outback go through where we went. It's the perfect Subaru commercial. And I've got it all videoed.